Please open your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 8. We're going to read the verses 18 to 30. Our text this morning will focus in especially on verse 30, but we'll really look at verses 29 and 30. Romans chapter 8, from verse 18 to 30. And the reason, again, why I start in 18 is because you see how Paul is connecting these doctrines of predestination and foreknowledge and all of these really to the suffering that the Romans believers were experiencing. So please, if you can, focus on the connection here between suffering and then towards verse 30. This is God's holy, living, and life-giving word. Romans 8 from 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. You'll see that connection between glory and verse 30 again. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. A hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray that the Lord would give us wisdom and understanding. Heavenly Father, we pray now as we have read your word, as we have read words that stretch from eternity past into eternity future. We pray now, Lord, that you would enlarge our hearts and minds to understand your word. Plant it deep within our hearts, Lord. Let it be rooted in our understanding that we might grow and live for your glory. For Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dearly beloved, last week we looked at verse 29 mostly, and we emphasized and we really zoomed in on God's foreknowledge and predestination. His foreknowledge and predestination of believers. We saw that God foreknew believers before the foundation of the world, before we had done any good or bad. And he predestined that same group to be conformed to the image of his Son. And so predestination is really a predestining to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw how that connected to suffering. This is a comfort for believers who are suffering, because in the midst of our suffering, we can remember that our suffering is not happenstance, but it's purposely training and transforming us and preparing us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 30, Paul teaches us these two wonderful realities, the foreknowledge and predestination of God, as to the first two rings of an unbreakable chain of redemption. In this unbreakable chain, we see God's divine plan to bring his people into his kingdom and into his home. The chain has five steps or rings that together form God's plan of salvation. And if you read it through carefully, you'll see that it's the same group, nobody is lost and nobody is added, that is connected from beginning to the end. This chain links eternity past to eternity future. A plane that is certain, for it is anchored into God's sovereign will. It's not God's let's plan and see if this works out, but it's God's plan. This is what he has done, and this is where it ends. And he tells the Romans, you're right there in the middle. This chain links the past to the future, and it connects those who follow the Lord Jesus Christ today right in the middle. It's not to those who do not believe. To those who do not believe, Paul writes the first seven chapters and says, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who believe and are in their Christian life and are suffering persecution and hardships and challenges and difficulties, he says, look where you are. You are in an unbroken chain of redemption. You're in the middle, but there was something happening before the foundation of the world, God foreknew and predestined, and there is things to come that are certain. And so this morning, I would like us to take a step back and see the whole chain of redemption. So we're going to take a little recap of the first chain just to remind ourselves what these first two were in verse 29. And then we'll go into the next three. So if you look at your bulletin, you have all five of them presented. Let's begin with the recap of the first two rings. It started with foreknown, foreknowledge. In Romans 8:29, Paul wrote, for those whom he foreknew. Last week we saw that Paul was referring to the believers in Rome here. And he tells them, he foreknew you. The reason why you're saved, the reason why you believe in Jesus, is because God foreknew you. He didn't only foreknow you, but he foreknew you so that you would be brought into this chain of redemption. That's the point. That's why it's so important to see the connection to suffering. He says, those of you who are suffering as believers, those of you who are challenged in your Christian walk and sometimes you're discouraged, I want you to look all the way back into the mind of God before the creation of the world. That's where your life started, in eternity past. Now, you weren't conscious. Your parents weren't born. Your great-grandparents weren't born. Adam and Eve were not even made yet. But before that, God foreknew you. And this is Paul's point. Before the foundation of the world, God foreknew you. And that is why you hear and read these words today. He elected you, believers, before the first flower saw the sun, before the first sound of any bird was ever heard. He set you apart from eternity past to belong to him. This is the message, the comfort of believers, that no matter what happens, no matter how great the suffering, even if our suffering is until death, he foreknew you before the foundation of the world. But that ring is connected to the next one, predestination. A predestination to be conformed to the image of his son. This is the text, Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Same group. To be conformed to the image of his son. God not only foreknew the believers before the foundation of the world, he predestined them. He set a final destination that would certainly come to pass. Now, what is that destination? Some of you might say, well, heaven. That's part of it. But what Paul is after is to be conformed to the image of his son. That is greater than heaven. That is more wonderful than comfort at the end of this life. You're made and predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, to be more like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose that God intended for your life. And not only intended, but predestined. He, with certainty, predestined every believer to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we face all the challenges in our life. All of those work together for good because they work together to bring us to our destination,
to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's amazing if you meet, sometimes you'll meet an older brother or sister and you hear their life tale, and they're telling of suffering upon suffering upon suffering. And you wonder, how did you get through this? Why do you have a sparkle in your eye when you say Jesus Christ, when you say God, when you say the Bible, when you say prayer? Why are your eyes sparkling? And then they'll tell you, for the Lord was faithful and with me. And suddenly you begin to realize that their faith is far deeper than your own, than my own. Why? Their suffering has made them more like the Lord Jesus Christ. If I would have met them in the middle of that suffering, they would have probably said, "This is hard." They might have cried out to God, "How long, O Lord? This is painful. This is hard. This is difficult." But then when you see the end of it all, there is a conformity of Christ that no instruction or no teaching could have ever taught. It is learned by experience, by life, and through challenges. More conformed to the image of Christ, when they pass into glory, they will reflect the Lord in a most wonderful and splendid way. This is why Paul writes in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed." There's no comparison even. If I look at my sufferings and I know what it's going to yield in the end, where I'm going to end up, where I'm predestined to go to, it is not worth comparing. Let's not even mention it. For the destination so far outshines that it is nothing to suffer in this world compared to the glory that is to be revealed. Well, those are the two chains that we looked at next time, and they're connected. Those who are foreknown by God are predestined. And he moves on to Romans 8, verse 30. "And those whom he predestined, he also called." Those whom he predestined, he also called. We're moving out of eternity past, and we're moving into our present life. We're going real fast, and we're coming to our current life on this world. "Not some of those who were predestined, or many of those who were predestined, or 99.99% of those who were predestined were called. No, those whom he predestined, he also called. All of those who were predestined are called." It's the same group. Now, what is this calling referring to? Now, there are at least two types of calls in the Bible. Paul is not using the word call here in the way that Jesus does in Matthew 22, verse 14, where Jesus says, "Many are called, but few are chosen." That's another type of calling. There, Jesus is speaking about the gospel call that goes out abroad to many. Many hear the gospel, but not all of those are entering into that call and respond to that call. That's the general call of the gospel. Few of those who hear the gospel are chosen. In other words, what Jesus is saying is few of those who hear the gospel enter into a life relationship, a living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've experienced that in your own life. You have shared the gospel in different ways to different people, and it would be wonderful if all those whom you shared it with are now followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's the reality? Many are called, but certainly not all respond. But Paul says in Romans 8, verse 30, those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he predestined, he also called. Now he's talking about the people that will make it. He is assured that he extends that call. It's not the general call. It's the specific, effective, powerful call. He's not only speaking about the audible gospel call, he is speaking about the effectual call from God that never fails. In other words, God foreknew his people, he predestined his people, and he called his people, and it's all the same group. It's a call that never fails. If you are a believer today, it is because you heard the call of the gospel and you responded to it. You responded to it because you were predestined to do so. You didn't know that. You didn't hear, "You're predestined, so therefore respond." You didn't hear, "You were foreknown and predestined, therefore you will respond." No, you heard the call like everyone else, but you responded. Because God foreknew you. He predestined you, and therefore you heard and responded when he called you. The call that Paul is referring to is not merely the call to salvation. It's really the call to adoption. He responded to the gospel call of salvation because you heard God, your Father, and you came home. You were known before the foundation of the world. You were predestined before the foundation of the world. God knew that he would call you before you were born. He knew that you would respond to that call by his Spirit before you were born, for he is your heavenly Father. Jesus is saying the same thing in John 10, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus was preaching to many, and some followed. Now, did Jesus especially look at them in the message when he was preaching? No. But his sheep heard his voice, and they followed. Why did they hear? They belong to Jesus. How did they belong to Jesus? Oh, listen to what Jesus says next. John 29, 10:29. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." They responded to the call of Jesus because Jesus had received them from the Father. And now let's bring it together. Who had foreknown and predestined them before the foundation of the world. They belong to the Father before the foundation of the world. The Father gives them to the Son. The Son preaches, proclaims the word, and they hear. And this is the same with believers today. When we hear the call, it's because in God's eternal plan, we already belonged to him. That's a doctrine of comfort. That is the most wonderful doctrine of comfort that we can have. We didn't know God yet, but he knew us. And he made us to hear because he foreknew and predestined us before the foundation of the world so that when he called, the call was into our heart and we were brought into the kingdom of God. I want you to hear this. If you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, this passage is for you. Your heart responded to the gospel because you heard the voice of your heavenly Father through it. Sure, you heard about, "I'm a sinner. I need to be rid of my sin." But somehow you didn't go into paying your sin yourself when you heard that Jesus paid for it, that the Father sent the Son to pay the sin for you. You said, "Yes, no more my own life. I want to follow you." Adopted into your Father's home, but prepared before the foundation of the world. You responded to God because he was calling you as a father that calls his children home. That's the call. It's not a legal presiding, the way that Paul describes it here. He's saying this is a father who's going out and is gathering his people from all over the world. And when he speaks, they recognize him and they respond. For he foreknew, predestined, and called his people. They're all connected. God had a plan, and it was good. It was so wonderful. Now, I want to put a note here, because sometimes what we do as people, we have this bad habit of hearing things from God's word and then try to apply it in a different way or order it in a different fashion and then get ourselves into a huge tangle and then we're just spinning in circles around ourselves and we don't know how to get out of this. And this is what I mean. There's a tendency for people to hear this, especially if you're not a believer at this point and you're thinking and you're convicted of sin in some way and you want to respond to God, you want to be saved, then you hear this and it just deflates all hope. Well, how do I know if I'm predestined? How do I know if I'm foreknown? How do I know if God calls me? And while you're talking, you can't hear. Because you can't listen when you're doing all the talking. And why am I saying this? Well, I've seen people so concerned about predestination before they're saved that they're not coming to the Lord because that's all they think about. What does the Bible tell us? What does Peter say? Save yourselves from this wicked generation. How do you save yourself from this wicked generation? Well, Peter says it, not me. So that's a legal thing to say in the Word of God, right? Save yourself from this wicked generation. How do we save ourselves? I can't save myself. What does Peter say? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The message you hear about Jesus Christ, you have to believe, to trust. No longer trust in your own mind and even your own way of how you understand predestination and election and all the rest. Don't outthink God. You listen to what is commanded to you. This is the command. If you don't know Christ, this is the command. God sent his Son into the world, so that if you believe, you repent from your sin, turn away from your sin, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's all. It's not a carrot in front of a donkey that you can never reach. It's not keep running in this direction, you'll never reach it. It's very simple. It's not simple from God's side. He's done all the work. It's a magnificent work. But when it comes to us, if you are not a believer, this is all you need to know. Hear, and you will believe. Jesus Christ came into the world to die for your sin. And if you stop rebelling and saying, I don't want Jesus, I want my own way, if you stop doing that work, and you simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And then we'll read Romans 8 together. See that? You say, well, I can't put those things together. That's okay. Because you're not in heaven as God. You're on earth as a human being. Predestination, foreknowledge, that's God's mind. It's biblical, it's true, and it's a comfort. But when you and I are going to try to understand God's eternal plan, before we're actually into contact with God through the Holy Spirit by the gospel, we're going to get confused. Our responsibility is to hear, to believe, and to be saved. Anything beyond that is rebellion against God. It's not wise. It's not sophisticated. It's not properly religious. It's foolish and against God's will. But to the believer, I say, he predestined you because he foreknew you and you responded. because he called. Which brings us to the next ring that is unbreakably connected, justified. Romans 8:30, and those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified. This is the second ring of the golden chain of redemption that takes place on this earth in this life. It's on the moment of our conversion. He justified you. This is why I'm saying that this call is always successful. Do you see that? Those whom he called, he also justified. It's a call that goes to every person and it's always effective because if you're called, you're justified. Same group. This is what it means, believer. He declared you, when you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer rebelled in unbelief, but you trusted in him, he declared you just, righteous, innocent, without sin, in the past, in the present, or in the future. When you heard the gospel and you responded, he declared you just. He declared. In other words, the judge says, this person, not like our earthly judge says, I'm not going to account him guilty for past sins. No, this is the eternal judge that says, I will declare you just from past, present, and future. That's justified. Not my sins of yesterday only. My sins today, my sins tomorrow were declared not to be mine, but belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was crucified and buried them. Before the foundation of the world, God knew that we would be born in sin with a sin nature as offspring of Adam and carrying that guilt. And he knew that we would come out of the womb sinning against him. He knew that we would reject him from our first breath, through our sinful inclination, and he knew that we would sin against him in our ignorance and willful sin. Praise be to God. He predestined us to be justified before the foundation of the world. In the hidden counsel of God, before the heavens and earth were created, before the first angel ever saw the light of God's glory, God elected his people to be justified. This was certain from eternity past. When Moses was walking on the earth, when Adam was walking on the earth, when Noah was in the ark, God knew that one day he would justify me. Isn't that a brilliant and glorious reality? So in a sense, we're all the same age. We've been eternally in the mind of God. We were just born at different times. But our justification was determined in eternity past, but it becomes present in this world. This is what it means. If you are a genuine believer today, this chain of redemption is unbreakable. You were foreknown and predestined. Because you were predestined, you were called. And when you were called, you were justified. You were justified. There are people in the world today who are part of this chain of redemption that don't even know about it yet. Then I and you have the great privilege of going out into the world and declaring the message of salvation to let them know that Jesus died for their sin so that they can finally figure out that God had foreknown them, predestined them, and then called them so that they might be justified. Isn't that amazing? Maybe your neighbor that has refused to talk to you about God for 20 years. Maybe he is one of those in the chain of redemption. You better talk to him or her or them. This is the most wonderful thing, isn't it? It's not just, let's see if somebody's going to hear. No, God knows that some people will be saved when you preach the gospel, when you share the gospel. Some of those will find themselves to be part of God's eternal plan. You better go out and tell him. This is good news. This is wonderful news. There might be some here in this room listening over the radio, watching over the YouTube live stream. You might have never heard the call. You might have heard something about God or thought about God, and somehow you find yourself here or on YouTube or listening to the radio. But God has been stirring your heart. And not by any ability of my own, but simply by the Word of God, you now feel yourself attracted to the Word of God and this God that is speaking to you through His Word, and you can't escape it. It's like a call from a father, and you've got to follow. It's stirring your heart. You want it to be true. You long for it to be true. It becomes the main thing in your mind. This is the most important thing. Oh, if it were true, my friend, it is true. And it is coming to your heart. It's not normal for this to grasp your heart and stir your heart. It's God calling. It's God Himself calling you to justify you. It's the Almighty stirring up words in your heart. It's not a cleverly devised human plan to bring you into religion. It's the eternal God of creation who foreknew you before the foundation of the world, made sure you were born one day because He predestined you to be like the Lord Jesus Christ so that one day, maybe today, He would call you and you would hear and be justified. All your sins forgiven and adopted to live forever with God. If you're listening right now and you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never turned to God through the gospel, this could be the day in which your eyes are opened. Let this be the day in which you turn from darkness to light. Let this be the day in which you answer the call and say, I am a sinner. But your word says that you died for sinners. That's me. I want to believe in you, God. And you will be free. Listen, my friend, can you hear the shepherd calling? His voice is not hard to hear. He made the ear so that you would hear. He made your mind so you can understand. He gave you language so you can comprehend. He gave you all of that for this one call. And then He gave you many blessings with it. So come and be saved. Open your ears, my friend, for God is calling you. He has prepared the sacrifice to justify you. He has prepared His own Son because He's calling you. Come and believe the good news that is coming into your ears. It's God calling. It's God calling. Which brings me to the last ring of this unbreakable chain of redemption. And it takes us into our future. Glorified in the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8 verse 30. And those whom He justified, He also glorified. It's the final ring, and it brings us into eternity and never stops. And this is the only ring that is in our future, but now look how Paul writes it. He uses past tense. Glorified, as though it's something that already happened. Why would he do that? Why would Paul use the past tense? Well, the answer is not very difficult. Once we begin to understand that Paul is speaking about this from God's perspective, Paul is explaining your suffering is based upon God's plan because you're part of God's plan, and that whole plan is finished. It's not something that God is still developing and hoping to finish. That whole plan is finished, and because God stands outside of time, He sees it as finished. The plan for God to glorify us, the determination that we will be glorified and our actual glorification is already seen by God. He's not limited to our time. In God's eyes, in His eternal wisdom, He sees you as already glorified. Now, we don't experience that yet. For us, it's in the future, because we're like a little dot on a timeline, and we slowly drag along on the timeline. But God sees the whole, and he has already determined that you will be glorified. What is this glorification? Well, Paul has written about it a few verses earlier. Romans 8:16 to 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children and heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Our glorification is with Jesus Christ. We were predestined to be conformed to Jesus, and one day we will be perfectly glorified with him. And so glorification goes beyond justification. Think about it this way. If justification is the cleansing from sin and the clothing with Christ's righteousness, glorification is the clothing of Christ's eternal splendor over us. We will reflect Christ's eternal glory. We will not only be perfectly righteous before God, but we will be radiating with Christ's splendor in love, holiness, goodness, kindness, mercy, tenderness of heart, patience, and wisdom. Glorification is more wonderful than you and I can understand in this life. It is the final perfection, the redemption of our bodies, that we will be like Christ in the way we love and the way we care. Can you imagine if this local church was already glorified, what a joy it would be to be here on Sunday morning. If we would all perfectly love like Jesus Christ already, this would be the best place under the sun. Paul says, it is an unbreakable reality that is in your future. You who are now suffering as believers, it is an unbreakable truth that one day you will be glorified. For this links back to justification, it links back to calling, it links back to predestination, it links back to the foreknowledge of God. It's an unbreakable chain. So now, brothers and sisters, as you're suffering, remember that it's not in vain. For all things work together for good. Something is not accidentally happening to you. You're right in the middle of the chain of redemption. And you're almost home. We're in between the fourth and fifth ring. I mean, that's almost there. Almost home. But certainly going to arrive at home. So how do we apply this in 1 minute? Well, remember how Paul introduced our salvation in Romans 8:18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Well, now we come full circle. We started with suffering and glorification, and now we end with glorification. But it still helps us to persevere in our sufferings for Christ. The Roman believers suffered, and so Paul told them, persevere, for you were predestined for glory. When you suffer for Christ, beloved, fix your eyes upon this unbreakable chain. Fix your eyes upon it. If you were called, which you now know by following the Lord Jesus Christ, you were justified. And the next stop after justification is glorification. The suffering here, we could add that in if you want, if you will, is sanctification. But Paul doesn't put it in here. Paul doesn't put sanctification in here, I think, for an important reason. Because that would make us think, well, what if I don't do it perfectly? Then the chain can have some weaknesses. What if, because I'm part of that sanctification, so I might break the chain. No. Sanctification is the life and the suffering that we face, absolutely. But in the train of redemption, the chain of redemption, justification is connected to glorification. If you are justified, you will be glorified. There are no cracks or weaknesses or really any human possibility to break this chain. If you suffer now as a believer, you will be glorified. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you after hearing truths that are greater than our understanding, that are greater than our minds can behold in its fullness, because they're absolutely, overwhelmingly glorious. Father, I pray that you would help us, as we are a forgetful people, to remember to look upon this glorious chain of truth, so that we would be encouraged and say with Paul, "Truly, O God, our current suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that is going to be revealed." So, Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.